flats, or I shot an arrow into the air. One calls it a sign off Interstate 80 explains a playa. We drive our little rented Penske ahead into the shimmering vastness, the flats packed sodium roadless rumbling beneath us, a couple of stooped predator birds purring on a calcified rock. Beyond them, men in fireproof suits, science fiction almost, move carefully across the body of their turbojet X-1 rocket car. A crowd of passing tourists traveling as we are, to Chicago perhaps, or to California, has formed here in their Saturns and Dodges to watch now one of the men, the driver, climb headfirst into the glistening machine. A circle of fire flares in the galaxy engines, then it is gone. When Bonneville, sponsored by John Astor, advanced across the Salt Plain, invading in 1832 what was then the Mexican West Coast, he couldn't have imagined this emptiness itself central to his nation's making. I mean that at a black site south of the highway, planes we do not know exist are whispering to the ground beneath them, there come hither hush now sounds of destruction. Yucca Mountain, I mean. Or the miles of fiber optics monitoring, say, Charlotte Farnsworth 70 from Eagan, Minnesota, and remotely caching the data to a server in Bluffdale, Utah. We took those parts of us we are ashamed of, O nation of exobite and waterboard, of extraordinary rendition, and hid them in the blinding desert. And yes, it is terrible how carefully this century we can ravage a person, is what I know I should be saying now. Bound for some new and glittering city I will begin again in. Yes, it's unconscionable, I want to say, the way we are built. But in the desert yesterday, men with knives and a video camera recorded themselves beheading, remember that term, a third whimpering civilian. He stands in the 4-minute clip clothed in the kind of orange jumpsuit we use still at Gitmo, and I know there is a logic to this, but who didn't at that moment revolted at even the cleanest of news coverage crave plain enough to end it again, yes, or imagine flattening as I did the desert there until it was even more Mars-like. In the Twilight Zone episode 15, titled by series creator Rod Serling, I shot an arrow into the air. A pair of moonbound astronauts crash lands on what they believe is a massive atmospherically terrene asteroid. Packing in his space-age canteen 3 days' worth of water, Donlan, mission commander, is strangled, by Officer Corey. Of course, it is Earth they are on. He walks Corey across the rock's suspiciously western desert, then in the distance flickering there in red lights a sign for Reno, Nevada. A tract of telephone poles, always at the heart of civilization, explains Benjamin, exists that same unconquerable urge to dominate we came from. Hunger and bloodlust, the coming around now of those hunched birds we began this with, remember. Enveloped in salt, our lumbering 10-foot Penske truck rumbles back to the highway, a line of shimmering asphalt we dropped here in a desert men believed they could escape from once. What did we call it? Chicago? California? Where we are going, we don't need roads.